Good morning. Thank you, everyone, for being here, for coming from far and near. Thank you to the OU. Thank you for this. Closer? Louder? Okay. Thank you for the OU for organizing this, every month with so much efficiency and beauty, and just offering such a wide array of speakers to all the people who come. It's very much appreciated, and especially that I know that you put an extra effort this month for the outside with an extra special buffet, much appreciated. And I see a few of Mummy's friends here. I'm Ayala Hart, this is my father. And I'm the daughter of Mrs. Brewer, who this is in memory of. So I see some of Mummy's friends are here, who knew her well, and her family is here. And all who knew her know that she was truly a student of life, someone who went through life learning from everyone and from everything. So one of the first sources on the sheet I put is Ezeu Chacham Alomed Mikol Adam. That's how she went through life. Every person she met, everything that happened to her, around her, was something to learn from and to grow from. It's therefore with a lot of gratitude that I stand here, gratitude to Boma and Bompa, my grandparents, who are sponsoring this and who have been sponsoring this for over a year now. Because this is who Mami was. She would be the first to come to an event like this. She would be the first to organize an event like this, to put it together, to get women and people to learn about our heritage and about everything that there is to learn about. And what I appreciate especially about Boma and Bompa's way is, I remember the time when I said, how did this come about? And they approached the OU and said, we want to do something in memory of our daughter. And I was reflecting back on that proactive way of, like, not waiting till someone comes to you and asks you to do something, but you were thinking of something to do and fill the need that there was. So thank you. So seeing as we're talking about Mami, who was a student wanting to learn, and this is a Rosh Chodesh just before Shavuot of Chag Matan Toratenu, that we are receiving the Torah and learning the Torah. And it's a time of, in our year, when we focus on our values, our Torah, and what we want to transmit to each other, to across the generation now, to our friends, to each other, and to the next generation, with it, our own children, our students, our grandchildren, great-grandchildren. And so I was thinking I would like to explore with you some things that are, I was thinking about what are the main things, or what are some things that are really helpful to use when we want to transmit our values, our knowledge, whether it's to our friends again, or to anyone we're teaching or interacting with. What are the things that help us most to transmit, to teach, to reach out, to give knowledge that we might have, or anything we might have that we want to give to others? How do we do that in the best possible way? So I'd like to tell you a story. One of my sisters is Sharon. It's related to her violin teacher. Speaking about music, my parents introduced us to music at an early age. So Sharon, my sister, had a violin teacher, Edith, who came for many years, and she came once a week to teach the violin. And I remember over the years, Mami, as she did with everyone, created a bond with her. Everyone who used to come regularly used to always chat to her and speak to her. She had this time of being with someone. And I remember one particular conversation. I was a teenager standing nearby, and I overheard this. So Edith had a young child who was around 1.5 at the time. And my mother asked Edith, so is she musical? It connects exactly to what you're saying. Does she enjoy the music? And Edith was saying, yes, she loves music. She loves it when I play. She loves listening to the violin. But you know what's really interesting is that I bought her this toy violin, and she loves playing with it, but she will only hold it upside down. So she'll hold it with the strings facing down, and she'll only hold it with the wooden part, like at the top. And like whenever I try and switch it over, she won't let me. She'll switch it straight back. So my mother stood there and thought for a moment, and she said, where is she when you play the violin? She said, she's in a booster seat on the floor. So my mother said, so when she looks up, she sees only that wooden part without the strings. So when she's holding the violin, that's how she holds it. I remember the spark of light in this mother's eyes and Edith's eyes was lighting up with understanding of like, oh, that's what's going on. And I think that epitomizes the way that mommy would teach is through real connection, through really, really connecting to the perspective of the other person. And to really go into where the other person is at and where they're standing, what their perspective is, and then you can give them. Because once you know that that's why the child is doing that, and you can put her high up on a high chair, and you can show her, this is how I hold the violin, and then she will understand. So you can go and give and teach in the way that they can really receive because of where they are. And it's what inspires me when I'm walking with my daughter down the street to get down to her level, because I'm pointing something out to her, and then suddenly thinking, I don't know if she can actually see that. What can she see? So I go to her eye level and I see, what can she see? And it's that trying to, when we teach, when we speak to someone, whether it's, again, a friend, people who work in therapy, or with anyone who wants to be mashpia on and give to connect to where they are, to the perspective of where they are. When we've just, we're towards the end of the sphera, where Liat last night said a very beautiful piece about our mother, and she spoke about the fact that mommy passed away at the end of Sphirata Omer after 7 weeks of working through the sphirot, Chesed, Gvura, Tiferet, the 7 different midot that we work on, and we work on all the different combinations. And that very much connects to what we've just been saying in terms of the different midot that connect to that. The midah of, that we're speaking about, of chibur, of connection, which midah is that? Yeah, yesod. So, thank you. So yesodot of a building is the foundations of a building. It's what connects the building to the earth. Without the foundations, the whole building would collapse. So yesod is the connection. It's what connects different things together. So yesod and being mashpia, or giving to people from a place of yesod, using that midah, means not staying above or far away. It's like, if it's with a child, it means getting down on the floor and being with them, looking them in the eye, connecting to them. It's when I'm speaking to someone, really being with them, not being somewhere else. I think that's something a lot of us learn from mommy, and it's something that I see often, that's the way to mostly reach another person, is to truly connect. And then we also, again, going back to the midot of when we want to teach and we want to transmit our values, our core ideas, the Torah that we have that we want to transmit, it's an expression of the midah of chesed. I want to share, I want to influence your life, I want you to also have this pleasure of knowing this, of living it with this insight, with this knowledge. So that's chesed. But if we give that chesed without taking into consideration and really connecting to the other person, we might give something that's not appropriate for them, or that they're not able to hear, or not able to understand. And so that's why we need that, the combination of midot, of gvura, sheba chesed, which gvura means discipline, it means holding back, it means reining myself in. It means I might want to give a whole shiur now of an hour, and I'm with someone who just that seems spaced out and doesn't, or needs to speak about someone, or needs to get something out themselves. So that's, I need to rein in order to give exactly what's matim, what's appropriate, and what's suitable for this person in the moment. And again, it's that chibur, that connection of being connected to the person, to what they really need now, to how much space they have, to how much attention span they have, to really trying to connect in a way that really works for them in the moment. So that was one thing that I felt like, in terms of when we want to teach from a place of chibur, of connection, of really being with the other person and seeing the other person. The second thing, just a moment, there was another thought. I just want to bring up something that's in the sword. It says, Vayelech Moshe, and Pashat Vayelech starts with those words. And then it says Vayomer, and it speaks about how Moshe was speaking to Am Yisrael. So where did he go? Vayelech, it doesn't say where he went. And in another place in Bamidbar, where Moshe Rabbeinu is asking Hashem to send a leader to the Jewish people to lead them, he says, he asks Hashem to send a leader, Asher yetzel lifnehem v'asher yavo lifnehem, so someone who will lead them, who will take them out and bring them in. And Hashem answers, kach lecha et Yehoshua binun, asher ruach bo. Take Yehoshua binun, asher ruach bo. What does that mean? An inspired man, it's translated here in English. So Rashi explains, ka'asher sha'alta sheyochal lahaloch keneged rucho shel kol echad ve'echad. What is special about Yehoshua? Why should you take Yehoshua? Because he's able to go laholech neged rucho shel kol echad ve'echad. He's able to connect. Thank you. He's able to connect. Closer. Okay, this way. Thank you. So that was what Moshe was. His strength was vayelech Moshe. He was able to go towards every person and connect to every person very deeply. And that's what he was looking for in the leader for the next generation. That's why Hashem told him to take Yehoshua. This is also why when Moshe was trying to lead all of the Jewish people, and he was having so much of an overload of work, and Yitro came and told him, why don't you take delegates and delegate the work to other people. So how come Moshe Rabbeinu didn't think of that himself? It doesn't seem to be a very hard thing to think about when we have too much work to do to ask other people to do part of that work. But because he was Vayelech, because he was someone who went to towards every single person so deeply and so in the true way, he never thought of he was just from a place of real connection. So he was connecting to every single person who came to him with a question. You can't pass that on to someone else. It had to be someone from the outside who would see, okay, this doesn't work. You need some help here. And I think that was very much who my mother was. And whenever she would meet with people, she would be fully in the moment, able to speak and connect to that person. It was a way of putting herself to the side and being able to be there and really listen. And something to grow into, I think also it so much enriches us and enriches our relationships with the people around us. You mentioned to be with people who love us and who we love. To do it in a way that really, really connects to who they are, to be present to ourselves and to them, that chibur. And that is a crucial part of, I think, when we want to transmit something to other people, to really connect from a real place. The second thing I was thinking of about what is important when we want to teach, when we want to reach other people. So as Rabbi Shaw mentioned, I started working recently in a school in Beit Shemesh, an exceptional school. And we recently had to interview new teachers for next year because they are having a few more classes for next year. And I had a lot of conversations with the Menahelet, who I work along with, in terms of what are the most important characteristics we're looking for in a teacher. And we kept coming down to the one single characteristic that we felt was the most important. I should ask some teachers here who could tell me what they think. The one thing that we kept feeling and kept seeing in the teachers that are already in the school and the people that we met is the openness, the willingness to learn, is to come in as a student, not just as a teacher. Because we saw that people come in with different strengths and different ways of doing things, and it's a good idea. Thank you. If they're willing to learn and they're open to learning, that they can grow into anything that the students need them to grow into. And if we look into our sources, that the different areas of giving, so we're talking about teaching, but in any area of giving, so in the area of parenting, of giving to our children, it says, and this is the first time I learned this yesterday, I didn't know this meaning of a Mishnah we all know, is it says, just going to look at the source. Okay. It says, V'chol banayach limud Hashem v'rav shalom banayach. Al tikre banayach ela banayach. So don't call it your children. Don't call them your children, your sons. Call them banayach. What does banayach mean? Your builders. Banayach, call them your builders. They are building you. They are building you. So let's look at your children with every interaction and every way they need us to stretch every day, which I'm learning every day now, more and more. We have young children, Baruch Hashem, and it's a learning school. That's what it is every day. But that's where you think you come in to give as a parent, to teach, to educate. Really, this is building me. This is making me. This is needing me to stretch to become more patient, more creative, more many, many things that I'm not yet and learning. So that's in the realm of giving as a parent. In the realm of giving as a teacher, we have to say, "Mikol melamdai iskalti umitalmidai yoter mikulan." Again, you come in to teach, but really you come and you learn. And in another area, where we in the area, this is more spiritual giving in terms of a teacher, but in the area of physical giving, of materialistic giving, is your it comes from the Medrash on Ruth. Of Ruth said about what she did with Boaz was yoter me'asher ba'al ha'bayit oseh im ha'ani, ha'ani oseh im ba'al ha'bayit. So more than the ba'al ha'bayit, than the person who gives, is giving tzedakah to the poor person, the poor person is doing for the ba'al ha'bayit. So in those three areas, like parenting, teaching, giving people, whether it's money or food, we see that we give us, but really we receive more than we give. And the system that Hashem gave us, it's called the system of the Mashpia and the Makabel. So generally in the world, we speak about give and take, about giving and taking, and that's like, sometimes you give, sometimes you take. But both giving and taking can be egocentric. It can be about what I need to give, and it can be about my need to be something, to feel important, to do the right, to feel accomplished. You're talking about satisfaction. But when we go from give and take to mashpia and mekabel, then it's completely different, because in a real and healthy setting where there is mashpia and mekabel, then every mashpia who gives is also receiving. We're born first as mekablim. We're born as infants who are completely helpless and completely dependent on the people around us to take care of us. And in the first years of our lives, we are almost only mekablim. Because in order to be a real mashpia, we have to first know how to be a mekabel, to be able to really receive. And then we can also give. And to be able to give in a way that is also receiving. And that's what we were talking about when we're thinking of teachers who come in. Teachers who come in and who feel that they have all the knowledge and they're going to do everything and influence the children who know nothing and come with that approach, are giving and then leaving. But the teachers who are there and seeing that it's a cycle, it's like a circle where I give and I receive. The people I give to, I receive from. And I'm looking for a word and I'm not thinking of it right now, but there's a relationship which is reciprocal, thank you. I'm being built up and I'm giving at the same time. And that's the truest way of giving, and that's the most beautiful way of giving and of receiving, where it's reciprocal, where it's real, where you're open to receiving as you're giving. An example is... the world for in in Yiddishkeit, in our lives, in our societies, the word we use to describe something who's reached, someone, the person who has reached the epitome of knowledge, is what? In Torah. Talmid Chacham, a student. Talmid, a student, because someone who is not a student has no connection to Chokhmah. Someone who doesn't realize how much more there is to learn, he's not connected to the real Chokhmah. That's someone in the world, in the secular world, it's about professors and doctors and people who have to feel knowledgeable and have to feel like they know everything. And here we're saying, you know, even the one who knows everything is still called a student. And so a way of being mashpia, of really connecting, of really giving over information, is to come in with also a need and a wanting to receive. Because if I'm a teacher and I go into a classroom teaching, in order for me to be a teacher, I need students who don't have the knowledge that I'm here to give them. So I need them as much as they need me. For me to become a good parent, I need my children to need me. For a doctor to become one of the greatest doctors in his field, he needs people to be sick. He needs people to come to him with a need. So he needs them and they need him. And that cycle of like, and so you have people who are aware of that, who are aware of what they receive from the people that they are giving to, given a very, very, very different way. It's in a way that is mashpia, in a way that is giving, that's appropriate, that's coming from a humble place, where like, I give to you and I receive. We spoke about the midot of yesod, of chibur, of connection. We spoke about the midah of chesed, of giving, and gvura, of holding in order for it to be appropriate and suitable to the needs of the receiver. The midah that we up to now, last week of the Sefirat HaOmer, is midat ha-malchut, which is actually not a midah in and of itself. Midah of Malchut is how I express every one of the other midot. Dibur, speech, is part of Malchut, is how I go about. What does a king do? He's sitting on a throne and giving orders. He's telling people what to do. It's the speech, is the way that you're expressing yourself and the way that you are coming across. That's malchut. It's dignity. And so now when we get nearer to Matan Torah, it's about the malchut, is about how we express each of these things that we want to do. Is how, again, when I want to lihitchaber, I want to connect to the people I'm giving to, I want to connect, is how do I express myself? Which words do I use, and how do I do it? As you said, with a smile, with a way that is conscious of the people around me that I'm giving to. Thank you. Rav Desta speaks about, and Nesiva Shalom specifically, about Chag Matan Torah Teinu Shavuos, as he says, it's not just a commemoration of the fact that we received the Torah at Har Sinai all those years ago, but it's as it says in the Pasuk, Moshe Yidaber Vayelokim Yanenu Bokol, it's in future tense. So it's about every year when we have Matan Torah, it's again our time that we are receiving the Torah, that we're here to receive the Torah, to learn Torah again, and to take it upon ourselves again. And it says in the Psukim around Matan Torah, it says, "V'kol ha'am ra'u et ha'kolot," they saw the sounds. So there's a mix-up of the senses, right? We know that they saw the thunder, they heard the lightning. What does that mean, and why that mix-up, and what does it mean? What's the difference between us when we hear something or when we see something? And if we look at the daily Shema that we say, we have Kriya Shema to say twice a day, where we establish our belief and we say what we believe in so strongly, the tenet of belief that has been going through all our generations. Shema Yisrael Hashem Elokeinu Hashem Echad, start with that word, Shema, of hearing. Why hearing? Why not seeing? So what's the difference between hearing and seeing? Is when we are hearing, you're hearing me speak, so you're hearing one word after another word, and you're hearing each word separately, each sound separately. Your brain is hopefully holding all that information together, and at the end of the sentence, hopefully you've got an idea of what I was going to say. You've had to like listen over a period of time, take all that information, remember it, and then at the end it all makes sense. When I first start the first word of my sentence, you don't know yet what I'm about to say. Hearing takes time. Hearing is a process. Seeing, if I show you an image of something, it takes a split second for you to see exactly what it is. It's immediate. We are in a world of Shema. We don't see things, and things don't always make sense to us. Things happen that very much don't make sense to us, often. But we're in a world where things are developing all the time and are coming to the culmination of Hashem's plan in this world. And at the end, we will see the picture of how everything makes sense. That's for En Olam Haba, that's for Imot HaMashiach. But right now, it's a world of hearing. It's a world of Shema Yisrael, of listening, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. And I know that now, I learn many, many things in my life and people's lives around us don't make sense. But I know that it's a process of Shema. It's a process. And so that's what at Matan Torah was Vayaram, I've lost the words, Etakolot. So they saw the sounds. So that's the ability, they saw at that moment that perfection that is in creation that we don't see in our day-to-day lives. But that we have that emuna, that there is that perfection there, and that we're working towards it and growing towards it. So we're here on Mami's, it's the 10th Yotzat, and we're here before, as Mama Tantaratena, when we're about to receive the Torah. And as we said, many things happen in our lives that we don't understand and we don't see the purpose of maybe right now. And in our day-to-day lives, there's the challenges that we're given to struggle with and to struggle through, but to know that it's ultimately coming to this culmination of Hashem's grandiose and perfect plan. And through that, just to remember the things that when we receive the Torah, we want to share the Torah with each other, with our children, with people that we meet, to try and connect, to try and see the people in a perspective of where they are. One idea that really helps me in when I'm trying to connect to someone, or when I'm finding it hard to connect to someone, or if they're speaking about something and you like think, oh, that doesn't sound right, or that doesn't sound true. So someone once said to me, if you would stand in that corner of the room and look out, and I would say to you, can you describe the room to me? You would describe a room full of people, all the chairs, maybe you'd be able to see the table with the food. But if I would put someone here and say, look there, what do you see? They would just see a screen, a blue screen with a white logo of the OU Center. And if you had these people talking to each other, they would say, no, that's not what the room looks like. Are you crazy? And they would say, well, what do you mean? It's full of people. And say, there's no people there. There's only just a blue screen. And all it is a matter of where the person's standing and their perspective. And I try and often like conjure up that image of like if someone's speaking to me and I really don't relate to what they're saying, is just to try and see they're standing in a different direction. They're seeing something completely different to me. You know, sometimes you can walk outside on a day, here maybe not so much, in Belgium that happens very often, you look one way and there's a sunny blue sky and look the other way and they're like gray, dark clouds. And you're like, oh, what is it today? And it depends where you're standing and where you're looking. And both are real and both are true. So when we're trying to connect to people who are different, they're different because they have a different perspective, they have had different life experiences, they're different people, and just to try and listen in a way that we understand where they are, and to connect to where they are, and to try and understand them, helps us to really, really connect and relate to the people around us. Think back to that baby who was looking up and seeing the violin upside down, like going and seeing people see things from different angles and different perspectives, and that's what creates the differences sometimes. And being able to relate to where the other person is helps us really give what they need and what is appropriate for them. And then going on to being students, to wanting to be a Talmid Chacham, to constantly always see every opportunity as something that is building me. The Netivot Shalom says something that we all know. I feel like it's something, it's a song, we've learned it for years. This HaOlam HaZeh Pozor B'fnei HaOlam HaBa. This world is a corridor leading to the world to come. HaTken Atzmecha B'Pozor K'dei She'Tikanes HaTaknin. Prepare yourself during your journey through this corridor so that you may enter the world to come. And the way he explains it, again, is something that we all know, but when I read it inside, suddenly it opened up some new insight for me that is related to what you were saying about how our circumstances don't make us happier or less happy, you were saying. But again, also our circumstances are what Hashem is sending us to make us become who we can become. And what is important is not who I am or where I am right now, but who I become through what is sent to me. So that's V'chol Banayich Limud Hashem, V'rav Shalom Banayich, they are building you. It's including our children, including anyone that we come into contact with, including our neighbors, our friends, our colleagues, people that we're struggling with sometimes and that we may be struggling with, that we have there's differences of opinion of that we have to start learning about different perspectives, and they stretch us and they help us become who we can become. And that is what's important. It's not important what we're going through because we don't choose what we go through often, but it's important who we become and who we choose to become through what we go through every day. And that was, I think, very much who Mami was, someone who, again, I've said this, used every opportunity, every person she met, every place she went to something to learn from, to get new insight from, to see new things through. And it's an opportunity we all have every day, in every interaction we have, to try and become who we can become, to try and stretch ourselves, to learn more, to connect more deeply in a more real way to people. All of that, to try and do that every day. There's probably more that I've forgotten to say, but thank you very much for your attention. Thank you for being here.